Hello, everybody. This is Doc Green with MeVape Productions podcast. This show is the Tech Shed, and we're going to, on this show, I'm going to discuss a lot of things about technology. This first episode is going to be the history of the Atari 2600. With me today, I have the host from the Top Floor Show, JB.
What is up, everybody? How's y'all doing?
All right, man. Dang, this sounds a lot better. We're experimenting with some new recording technology and stuff here. But for this episode, what do you know about Atari 2600?
I really don't know much about the Atari. I mean, I had an Atari growing up. I played Pong on it, you know. You played Pong, right?
Yeah, now Pong was the original Atari console. You mean the Pong one where it just had Pong on it? Or do you remember the one that had the cartridge you pulled in and out?
I think it just had Pong on it.
Yeah, that was Atari's first video game, Pong. But that game originally did was it had only so much memory in the console, and you bought the game system, and it had like three games. It had Pong, Breakout, and Wall Break. And the reason it only had those three games is because it was limited on its ability for processing and graphics. So each game shared the graphics and processing from the other game, which is why you could only play three games on the original console.
Hey, three games is better than nothing, in my opinion.
Right? But in 1977, Atari came out with the Atari 2600. Now, what this gaming system was, most of you that are old enough to remember, some of you that are into old games and everything may have seen them, it was a console that was about a foot and a half wide, about 8 inches tall, and it had these cartridges you could pull in and out for separate games you wanted to play. The original game system came with the console, two stick controllers, two paddle controllers, and a game called Combat, which had like about 8 different games on it. You had tanks, planes that would shoot each other and things like that. They could go around mazes and everything.
Okay.
So that was its first gaming system they came out with. Now, what was so great about the Atari 2600 was it was originally called a video computer system. The Atari 2600, they shortened the name to Atari 2600 because they modeled it after the production model of toys it was producing, which was the CX2600. So instead of calling it the video computer gaming system or whatever, they just shortened the name to Atari 2600.
Better.
Yeah, it was way a lot better than that. Now, by no means was Atari 2600 the first gaming system. Like you mentioned, you had Pong. Mm-hmm. That was out before that. Fairchild Video Entertainment Systems and RCA Studio 2 also had games. But they couldn't really compete with Atari. Here's the advantage Atari had over those gaming systems. Atari's parent company was called Warner Communications Company. We've all heard of Warner. They're big in the movies right now in communications. They're one of the largest conglomerates in the world. Mm-hmm. Well, back then, because of their money, they were willing to put money into the home gaming systems, which was a very fledgling thing back in the 1970s. There were not too many people had them.
Mm-hmm.
So Warner was the first big company that was willing to put money behind Atari to allow them to produce more systems and everything like the 2600. And games went along with them. Have you ever played the Atari 2600 system?
I'm not sure. I think I've maybe played it at like a friend's house or something like that. But I only have experience with playing Pong.
So you came in the generation of the Xbox.
Xbox, like my first console for myself was a Nintendo DS. That's when they started doing handheld consoles. Well, no, my first handheld console was a Game Boy.
Oh, yeah, right.
And then, I don't know what happened to that. I think I lost it or like my cousin peed on it or something like that. But then I had a DS and Nintendo DSi and, you know, all that junk. And then I had an Xbox 360, I had a PlayStation 2, I had a PlayStation 3.
and none of these would have been possible without the Atari 2600.
Yeah.
And here's why. The Atari 2600 was the first one that used what they called read-only memory. And it came in these little black cartridges, probably about four inches tall, 3.5 inches wide. And you put them inside the game control system. Mm-hmm. And that it was the game you played. Like, now y'all put in CD-ROMs and things into the game. Well, now they're not even that. Now they're just downloaded off the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, but back then, these were revolutionary. These little, man, you go to a friend's house and have like 50 of these little cassettes pulled up or you know, little black boxes. You pull a game off, you put it in there, you play the game until you fell asleep or got tired or whatever. And that's the way that, you know, the gaming system was back then. But the original system was a 1977 system. It had a lot of internal RF shielding. Do you know what that is?
I don't.
Radio frequency shielding. What that means is the game itself, the console, would produce a radio frequency out of it. So if you didn't have the shielding on there, these RF signals would literally interfere with your TV, causing it to scramble. It could interfere with your radio reception, causing you to hear your gaming sounds come over the FM radio and things like that around the house and other instruments. Also, the problem was light bulbs back then would produce RF, slight RF frequencies. So without the shielding, literally lights or blenders or other things in the house could interfere with the gaming system and cause it to glitch. So they put a lot of what they call RF shielding in at the time. Caused the game system to be very heavy. And because this game system also has six little switches on the top, mm-hmm. one for power on and off, and you could have another switch go between color and black and white, because a lot of people still had black and white TVs back then. And then you had a player A difficulty, player B difficulty, select and reset switch. Select allowed you to select the different games that were on each cartridge. The reset is what started the game over. By the way, like nowadays when you play a video game, your score gets saved. You save your game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, back then you could. You would play all the way through a game and everything, trying to play a game like Pitfall. Have you ever heard of it?
I have not.
It was a game where this guy swung around on a vine and he'd go down in tunnels and try to collect gold and he'd jump over little snakes. Very bad graphics. Very bad. Today's standards. Very. But at the time, it was extraordinary.
I wouldn't say bad. I would say like retro, you know.
Retro. You know? Yeah, we'll go with that. That's great. That's a great term for bad. But what happened is, you could play these games like all night long, building up your score and everything, getting high score and everything. Right. As soon as you turned it off, guess what? You had to start all over next time you played.
Oh, I wouldn't save.
No, would not save at all. So every time you played these games, you had to start over from the beginning. Nintendo actually had the same problem with the NES. They wouldn't save either. That would save the top score, but it wouldn't save your game so you could continue playing. So there was a game on the Nintendo, I remember we played in the Army, some kind of ninja game, and you had to go through all these levels to get to the top and everything. But man, it took hours and hours and hours. So when you get tired of that, what we used to do in the Army is we'd literally leave our game system running all night long while we went to sleep, woke up the next morning and everything, and continue playing. That's the only way we could keep the scores going.
Okay, so... Can I ask your experience with, like, just games and the Atari itself?
The Atari 2600 was the very first home game system I played. Okay. Do you remember Pac-Man at the arcade?
Yeah.
Okay, that was one of the games they moved from the arcade to the Atari 2600. Again, very different graphics, very poorly done on the 2600 and everything. The Pac-Man didn't turn around like he did in the video game. He'd go backwards if you move the control backwards and still eat. So very poorly done, but... I say poorly now. At the time, it was very exciting because we got to play Pac-Man at home. You know, it came in black and white or maybe two colors. But it was still exciting. The ghosts were all the same. You didn't know who Speedy or Pinky or none of them were because they were all the same color. You know, so it was crazy. But, yeah, that was the very first game system I played. And it was, how do I say this? The most exciting thing next to a Playboy magazine we could have ever experienced. I mean, it was insane. No, seriously, guys. We used to go over to friends' house, you sneak over into dad's magazine thing, pull out a Playboy, look at it all that long, you know. For what, I don't know, because we weren't old enough to know what to do with what we had, but still, we had that joystick we couldn't play with, you know. You were there with all, room with all your friends, you couldn't play with your joystick.
Y'all can dream.
Right. But the Atari took the place of all that. Okay. You weren't looking to make prank phone calls in your friend's room at night or anything. You weren't looking at Playboy magazines. You weren't trying to sneak out of the house or anything. That was it. You got over there. If one of your friends had that system, you plugged it up and you played all night long. You'd have Coca-Colas and popcorn and chips and everything and just sit there and just play and play. And it was crazy.
Like an old-fashioned sleepover, you know?
Yeah, here's a picture that I pulled it up on the internet. If some of you guys want to see what it looks like, we have links in the description here that you can go and see what some of these old gaming systems look like. You see some of the places we got some of the research for. But that was the game system.
Okay.
And you plug that little cartridge right there in, and this game that they're playing up here is Space Invaders. It's what threw... It made Atari the number one selling toy for 1979. So, when other game systems were selling hundreds of them per year, Atari started selling millions of them per year.
Wow.
The problem became that a lot of other companies started making gaming consoles that would fit the Atari. Back then, they didn't have a way... I mean, you couldn't block it. If they made a game that worked on it, they could sell it. So a lot of these teenagers, kids, were programming these bullcrap games and making them and selling them to stores to sell that fit the Atari system. Now, Atari tried to sue over it, lost in court. They lost. Back then, the judges in the court system and them didn't have enough knowledge about the copyright and everything of intellectual intelligence for gamings and everything, so they allowed other companies to make them. Which means you came in with this whole slew of games over the next 4 or 5 years that just sucked ass. I'm talking about like they were horrible, horrible games.
Any like in particular?
Well, here's one that was not supposed to be horrible. It was called E.T. From the movie E.T. Spielberg licensed Atari to make a game called E.T. Okay? But the contracts and everything took so long to negotiate. They wanted to come out by Christmas. It took them so long to get the negotiations of how the game or the license agreements and everything that by the time the contracts were all done, they could start production. Mm-hmm. They only had 6 weeks to fucking make the whole game. And it was horrible. E.T. would not move right. He didn't do half the thing. All he ended up doing was really running around in a maze. And
E.T. phone home.
Yeah, half the time he couldn't. Your control, you move it right, and he'd go left. And I mean, it was the worst. If you ever find a copy of it, though, let me know because I still want it just because of nostalgia reasons. But yeah, it was the worst game ever. But that was by a major company. Now, there are other teenagers out here making games from everything from race car games to...
Street Fighters, fighting games?
We weren't that advanced yet. They had a little boxing game like Rock'em Sock'em.
Okay.
Now, that was pretty cool. The imitators, the kids who try to make the other imitation games, man, some of these games that sell for as cheap as $5, $6 retail because they were just so cheap.
So what about the Mike Tyson game? Was that on...
No, Mike Tyson came out on the Nintendo NES system.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was after the rise and fall of the gaming consoles of the 70s and early 80s. Because the same thing that helped Atari become so big, which was, you know, the read-only memory games and everything, so you could play different games on the same console. So you would have to go out and buy a different console for $300 or $400 every time. You just buy a game for $20, $25 and mm-hmm. be able to play the game. The only problem is so many people started making such junk games. Even other companies started making games to fit the Atari. And they would actually copy Atari's games, give them a different name, and start selling them cheaper. You know, say ColecoVision was one of them. That did that. Even though they had their own gaming system, ColecoVision came out the gaming system. No one really liked it. Everyone had Atari, so Coleco said, "You know what? Screw this. We're just going to make some more games like that." Atari had Defender. They had Offender. You know, Atari had Asteroids. They had Meteor Shootout. Atari had Indy 500. They had Racer. I mean, it was the same exact game that Atari had, just cost a lot less money. So Atari started returning the favor, making games for their consoles that were really cheap and everything made near. Anyway, it caused this big influx. Everybody was buying all these games and everything, and no one liked them, so they quit buying them. And that's what really caused what we call the video game crash of the 1980s. That's when it really almost killed the entire industry. Had Nintendo not came out with the NES, it would have destroyed the entire gaming system industry. No one was advancing. No other big companies were wanting to build anything. Sony wasn't wanting to build anything. No one wanted to build any more gaming consoles because Atari dominated the market so much that the only way you could really make money was making Atari games. But then so many games were trash that the other companies didn't want to put their name on a game to go into Atari because, you know, Atari games earned such a bad reputation, even though Atari wasn't making the bad reputation games. So after that, Atari came out with the 2600, which was a very heavy one and everything. The next year, in 1978, they came out with a different system that they had less RF shield. They figured out they didn't need as much RF shielding as they thought. They moved two of the switches to the top of the thing, and that was just supposedly an upgrade. It was just a different model. It was a lot lighter and everything. Hmm. But then a year later, in the 1980s, they came out with the Atari 5200, which was supposed to hold better type of games, but it was not backward compatible. So everyone that had been buying all these games for the last 4 or 5 years for Atari couldn't play their new games on the new 5200. So they ended up coming out with a little gizmo they attached to it so you could play your old games. And instead of calling it the 5200, because people didn't like that, they literally just took the games back, changed the name, called it the Atari 2600 again. But it was really a completely different system. It was smaller, sleeker, it was an all-black case and everything. But, you know, it was a way for Atari not to confuse its consumers. Because back then, no one liked change. It's not like now. You can hardly wait until the next gaming system comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, you spent $300 on a gaming system. What does a new PlayStation cost?
I'm not too sure. Maybe $500, $600?
Okay, $500, $600 in 2022. Now, you imagine paying $300 for a gaming system in 1977. That was more than a month's rent. You know, say that was equivalent to $1,500 to $1,800, $2,000 today. So you bought all these games and all this stuff, and also they come with a new computer that won't play the back ones. You know, Atari caught a lot of hell for that. So that's the reason they end up calling all the 2600s, end up making them back compatible and things like that. So that was the rise and the fall of the Atari 2600. Even though it used an 8-bit 6507 Microsoft 7 processor running just over 1 megahertz, at the time it was the greatest technology. Of course, we know now that technology gets, like nowadays, you buy a computer, by the time you get home and unbox, it's already obsolete.
Yeah.
Back then it lasted for years. You know, so Atari, that game E.T. I was telling you about, mm-hmm. little side story, they had sold that game so poorly that they couldn't sell it. People just wouldn't buy it. It was so bad that they ended up taking out like 1 million copies of it and just buried it in a landfill. They wouldn't even give them away. They just went out, dug up a hole and buried them all. That's how bad that game was. So, yeah, that's a little bit about the history of the Atari 2600. After that came out the NES, and after the NES, you know, Sony came out with PlayStation, and then, do you know how, and I'm going to get into this in another podcast later on, do you know how Microsoft came up with why they came out with the Xbox One?
No.
The original Xbox?
Mm-hmm.
The reason Bill Gates came out with that is he went home one day, and you got to remember, Windows was one of the top companies, computer software companies and everything. He's watching his daughter play on the Nintendo game system. And he looked at the graphics on it and went, that sucks. So he went in the next day and told his designers, build something better for my daughter. So they built her the first Xbox.
That's badass.
Yeah. And it ended up becoming such a hit that we know where we're at today with that, you know. Basically, them and Sony, the only two major consoles. Hell, they're the only consoles made anymore. Actually, they're not even making consoles anymore after this, are they? They're all going internet-based.
I'm honestly not too sure. I've been kind of, like, slacking on games. I've been considering switching over to PC. But for me, console just has a... It's a nice feeling, you know?
Yeah, I like it being able to have... I don't know why. I guess because I'm old school. You know, I like being able to change my games out physically. And I'm always scared about the internet, because what happens when a server crashes? Are you able to continue your gaming experience? What happens if you and I'll get into some of these topics later on, some of the digital copywriting things. There are games out now that you can buy the game system,
mm-hmm.
you can buy the CD-ROM, put it in your thing, but it will automatically verify that you were the original purchaser of that game with the server code over the internet. If not, you don't get to play that game. It'll log it out.
I did not know
so
that.
If you buy a used game, you may not be able to play it. And it will not allow you to play without being connected to the internet. The game won't work at all. So it has to verify the key to the original owner, and that's the only way you can play. But a lot of people are upset about that because, like a server go down that's supposed to verify that key, now you bought a game and you can't even play it. You were the rightful owner of the game. You know, they have a lot of systems. But we'll get those kind of podcasts in the future and everything. I just wanted to kind of start off with one of the iconic gaming systems of in our history, which was the Atari 2600, what it meant to the gaming industry, and how it helped and almost destroyed the entire gaming system all on its own. And guys, if you want to see some of where we got our research and everything, you can go check out GameDeveloper.com, which is in our link, our research links. And we have a history of Atari 2600 in our links. And you can go in there and learn more about it, learn, get down to the specifics of the type of softwares they use and everything. I didn't want to get into all of that because that gets very technically involved. And even though I love all things tech, some people just may want to hear about the history of the gaming system. So I don't want to get into how many micropixels were used and things like that.
Yeah, just keep it short and sweet, you know.
Right, and so
I think just get people's interest peaked.
Yeah, that's my goal. If you guys, if there's anything y'all want to hear about or talk about or learn about, and when I say all things tech, I'm not just talking about video games. I have been a telecommunications technician. I have worked in the cyber field. I've studied cybersecurity on my own. I also did I've done a lot of research on hacking and hackers and the dark net, the dark web, and how it is used. All this kind of stuff we're going to be talking about on this channel. So it's not just going to be about video games. Anything tech related, from how traffic signals work to the most advanced hackers forms that we can dive into, we're going to be discussing on this channel. But I would again like to thank JB from the Top Floor Show from eBay Productions, one of our hosts on there, of our first and flagship show. And thank you for joining me today.
Oh, no, yeah, this is amazing. I got to learn about the Atari. I think this is a pretty good topic. I'd love to talk about video games and tech, too.
All right, guys, so I hope y'all tune in with me. This podcast will be coming out about every 2 weeks, and I hope y'all enjoyed it. And like I said, if y'all have any questions about anything tech or y'all want some more research on things or wonder how things work, just hit me up with an email at dockgiv@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to tackle those subjects with you in the future. And then, meanwhile, please give us a follow and a 5-star rating on Spotify if you're on there or wherever you're listening to your podcast. We are now on Spotify, Drizzle, Google Podcasts. Actually, we're on about 7 different platforms right now, so with the Top Floor Show. This one should be hitting those platforms pretty soon as well. Right now, we'll probably be only on Google Podcasts on this one until we get submissions completed and everything. Okay. But we look forward to you guys listening to any podcast channels. Leave us a rating and tell us what you think.